So we're still in a series in the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5. And if you have your Bibles, we're going to turn there in Matthew chapter 5. We're on this Beatitude in verse 7. And I thought when I started studying this, I thought this one is going to be probably the easiest one because I understand. I got this one. I learned this a long time ago, what this meant and how it impacted my life. And I got this one figured out, no problem. And then I started studying and I was like, oh my goodness, I know nothing. I absolutely know nothing. I am so confused and I'm so bewildered about these complex, amazing things that God gives to us in these little words when he says this: blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Now, when I read that, I was like, oh yeah, mercy. We all understand what mercy is. I don't remember who taught it to me or where I read it at. I was talking about it with Kathy, and she says, that sounds like one of those Bill Hybel things or something like that. Because we were driving home yesterday from Kathy's dad's, and we were talking about this. And I said, you know, how do you define mercy? And she was kind of telling me. And I was like, this is how I've always defined mercy. Mercy, in my mind, has always been not getting what I deserve. Okay? I've always had that in my mind. And grace was getting what I don't deserve. Get that with me. So mercy, in my mind, with this little definition, mercy is not receiving what I deserve, because what I deserve is punishment. What I deserve is death. What I deserve is a good spanking most of the time, and what I deserve is not really good things, but I'm not receiving that. So that's mercy. Someone looks at me and says, man, this is what you deserve, but I'm going to have mercy on you, and I'm not going to give it to you, all right? And then grace is this idea of getting something absolutely amazing, receiving something that I don't deserve. I did nothing for this, and that's grace, and he gives it to me anyway. And I think the reason I've got that in my mind, especially about the idea of mercy, is one of the parables that Jesus gave to us in the Gospel of, let's see, Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, we have this parable that Jesus gave to us, and it actually has the word mercy in it. So it's called the parable of the unmerciful servant in Matthew chapter 18, beginning at verse 21, and I didn't forget my glasses, I got them right here. Good deal. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21, it says, and Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Legitimate question. How many times should I forgive this goofball who keeps making me angry, keeps doing things wrong against me? And Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 or seven times seven times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wants to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had would be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. He says, be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. And the servant's master took pity on him and canceled the debt and let him go. Wow. That's mercy. You see what I'm saying? There was a huge debt. He owed him a lot. And God said, or the king said, you know what? I know you owe me a lot. I know you owe me such a large amount that it'd never, ever be able to be repaid. He says, I'm going to forgive your debt. You don't owe me anything. Walk on. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him just 100 denarii. And he grabbed him and he began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. And his fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, this sounds very familiar, be patient with me and I will pay you back. But he refused and said he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in, you wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? See? Shouldn't you have mercy? Shouldn't you forgive the debt? As I had on you, in anger his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. And so, you can see right here in this parable, some of you are looking at me really serious here. You should be. You can see from this parable that mercy and forgiveness kind of go hand in hand. You realize that? You see, there's a great debt, and you forgive or you have mercy on that great debt, and you forgive and you let it go. And so we've kind of connected this idea of mercy and forgiveness together, and I think they should be connected. I really do. I think mercy is a broad term, and forgiveness narrows it down and goes even further. Okay? And so I've always connected the idea of mercy as, you know, Kathy, you did me wrong, and I'm just going to let it go. Not that you did me wrong. I can't imagine Kathy doing wrong to anybody. Randy's back there going, yeah, I know. She's perfect. No, she's not perfect, but it's that idea of forgiving something or allowing it to go and just let it pass, all right? So I figured this is a pretty easy little lesson, because when he says, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy, it goes right along with what Jesus says in this parable. He says, forgive or be merciful if you want to receive forgiveness and if you want to receive mercy. We'll get into that next week. Okay? There's another part of this mercy thing that all of a sudden just blew my mind. And it comes out of another parable that I'd never recognized the ending of the parable. All right? So there's another parable that I want you to take a look at with me. And we're going to extend your idea or your view of what Jesus is saying when he says, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. You see, mercy isn't just not getting what you deserve. There's something more to this idea of mercy. If you have your Bibles, take a look with me in Luke chapter 10. Another parable of Jesus. One that's very familiar to every one of you. Probably. Maybe not. Luke chapter 10, begin at verse, I've got to go back to the glasses. Luke chapter 10, begin at verse 25. Jesus speaking, he says, on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law, he replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You answer correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. He should have walked away. Should have just walked away at that point in time. He gave the right answer. When you give the right answer, leave on a good note. But he didn't. But he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes. They beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. So yesterday, as on our drive home, Kathy and I were talking about this, and I said to Kathy, so why is this passage about mercy? And you're saying, wait a second, I didn't hear mercy anywhere in there. But if you keep reading, it does say, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? And the expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus told him, go and do likewise. So I guess I'd never seen this before, or I'd never recognized it, or I'd never really looked at it that closely. So the answer to the question is, which one of them showed mercy to this man? And it says, the Samaritan. And so Kath and I were talking about this, and I was like, now wait a second. So in my definition, not getting what you deserve, that doesn't fit, because the guy who got beat and robbed and stripped and was half dead did absolutely nothing to the Samaritan. You see what I'm saying? And so it doesn't fit. What's this mercy that he's talking about? How did the Samaritan, because we were talking about it, and Kathy is like, and I hate to say this, but you were wrong. It was the first time, but because we were talking about this, and she's like, well, you know, the guy who got beaten and drugged and stripped, and he was a Jew, and so the Levite who went by and the other guy who went by, they were Jews, and so they had an obligation in order to take care of him, and the Samaritan had no obligation because they were at war, because he was a Jew and he was a Samaritan, and you know, there was no forgiveness there, and there was a strife and stuff like that. But and I was like, oh yeah, I agree. And then I got to looking at it, and nowhere in that story does it say the guy that got beaten, robbed, and half dead was a Jew. It just says he's a guy. Just a guy. So how is it that Samaritan was showing mercy because the guy didn't do anything wrong to him? I was talking with Nathan about it this morning too. Where'd Nathan go? He's hiding on me. Oh, there is he gone? So I was talking with Nathan about it. He's like, well, you see, he was showing mercy because that he looked at him and thought, well, he got what he deserved. You see what I'm saying? It is what he got. He got what he deserved, and so he was helping him even though he got what he deserved. He must have done something wrong to get robbed and beaten and all this other stuff. But that doesn't fit completely either, I don't think. You're looking at me kind of confused, Carol. It's all right. We're about to clear it up. So how did the Samaritan show mercy? And how does that relate to this idea that blessed are those who are merciful will be shown mercy, and how big this really can be? You see, the reason the Samaritan was showing mercy is because here in verse 33, it says, but a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, in the NIV it says, he took pity on him. Do you see that behind me on the screen? Is it up there? Yes? He took pity on him. So who else has something besides the NIV Bible with them today? You got it? What do you have?
I have compassion.
What version do you have?
It's a new...
Uh-oh.
Yeah, the new...
Living Translation?
Yeah.
Yep. Compassion. Who else has another? Yep, Wendy.
ESV.
What's it say? Compassion. It has compassion, really. Yeah. Yeah. Anyone of the versions we got out here? Yeah, what do you got, Sarah? The King James still has compassion. Are you talking about the verse or just the King James in general? No. King James has compassion. Yep, yep. Any other passages out there? Any other versions? Yes.
Tree of life, compassion.
Tree of life, compassion. Yeah. Any other versions out there? Amplified. Showed pity, like the NIV. Showed pity, NIV. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Anyone else? Yep.
Mercy.
Mercy? Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? Yeah, Steve. Compassion. Compassion. Yeah. You see, this idea of mercy, what was your version? Really? It must be the... Okay. Interesting. See, mercy is more than just not getting what you deserve. Mercy is exactly what the Samaritan did. Part of mercy is recognizing the need of someone, recognizing their condition, recognizing what's going on in their life. And that's step one, okay? Just recognizing the need in someone's life is not mercy, because the other guys recognize the need. They say, ooh, that dude's in trouble. He looks like he's about to die. He needs something, and they kept walking. So mercy is not recognizing the need, because we can all recognize the need. But being merciful is recognizing the need and having the desire and the wherewithal to do something about it, to step up and take action. And recognizing the need and the hurt or whatever is going on in that person's life, seeing it and doing something about it. That's having mercy. And that's literally at the very character of God. It's literally at the very core of who he is. As a matter of fact, this is how God even defines himself. If you take a look at Exodus chapter 34, Exodus chapter 34. I think I got that right. Exodus chapter 34. Wow, come on, fingers. God's talking with Moses. Yeah. So in chapter 34, verse 4, it says, so Moses chiseled out two stone tablets, like the first ones. First ones kind of got broke. And he went up on Mount Sinai early in the morning, and as the Lord had commanded him, and he carried those two stone tablets in his hands. And then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate, wait a second, and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding love, and in faithfulness. So, here we go again. What version do you have there?
It's a New King James.
And so what does it say in that verse? The Lord, the what?
Merciful.
The merciful. Okay, let's try this again. Donnie, what do you got?
Adonai, compassionate and gracious God.
So compassionate, all right. What do you got, Sarah, in the
merciful.
Sue? Compassionate? What do we got over here? Who else answered? Yeah.
Merciful.
In the ESV. Anyone else? Who did I forget?
Merciful and gracious.
It's that same idea. At the very core of how God defines himself. Kind of tricky words here. Some people are thinking, why are we looking at all these different verses? Because sometimes it's hard to define. God's saying his compassion, looking at him, compassion is not just recognizing the need. Compassion is the idea of seeing the need and having a desire to do something about it. It's the same idea with being merciful. It's not just recognizing the need. It's the desire to do something about it. And it's at the very core of who God is. At the very core. As a matter of fact, without God's mercy, if he was not a merciful God, you would not have a wife. Woo! Nope, sorry. Literally. Think about it. When God created Adam, he looked him on him and he says, wow, it's not good that a man should be alone. See what I'm saying? God sees the need and he meets it. We got the rain. God is compassionate, or he is merciful. God sees every one of our needs. He recognizes that we're hungry. He recognizes that we're cold. He recognizes every aspect of who we are as a living being. And God is merciful. And because he is merciful, because he is compassionate, because he knows you better than you know yourself, God is a God who doesn't just look at your needs and say, well, that's a problem. God is a God who looks at your needs and sees them and says, I love them enough that I will take care of it. He is merciful. Because if he was not merciful, he'd just say, yeah, stay hungry for the rest of your life. Yeah, stay single for the rest of your life. Stay single for the rest of your life. You see, God at his very core is compassionate, and God at his very core is a man, or is it not a man, is a God who takes care of our needs. And he's calling us, when he says this, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Now that takes on a whole new meaning to me now. It truly does, because here's the thing. I recognize that I need to forgive people. I recognize that people have wronged me. I recognize I have the opportunity to hang on to that wrongness, or I have the opportunity to give them forgiveness, or I have the opportunity to be merciful to them and not give them what they deserve. But here's the aspect that I forgot about. You know what? If I want God to continue to provide for me in ways that are far beyond my understanding in an amazing world, if I want that, if I desire that, if I recognize my need for God to take care of me, then guess what? According to that verse in Matthew chapter 5, when Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy, it's the same aspect. He says, we need to start walking through our lives in such a way that we not only recognize the needs of others, but we are willing to step up and meet those needs, whether it's a material need. You know, James talks about that whole idea of if you see someone who is naked and hungry, and you say, oh, bless you, be well fed, take care, and you don't meet their needs, that's not good. You know, there's a lot of lonely people out there. A lot of lonely people. They just need someone to talk to. Literally, just need someone to talk to for just a few minutes. Someone to pour out their heart. Someone to share their concerns. Someone to allow them to hear their voice. There's a lot of people with a lot of needs. And here's what happens. When there's only a few people that are trying to help meet those needs, guess what happens? It wears them out. And then all of a sudden, we start losing our own mercy. You see, God's designed for us. And what Jesus is saying very plainly, he says, if you are a follower of me, if you have recognized and received and recognized you have received the mercy of God, that every single day he has been providing for you, protecting you, caring for you, watching over you, if you can wake up in the day and recognize, hey, today isn't the first day of the week, it's the third day. He's risen and he's alive and he's caring for me, and I don't have to be afraid and I don't have to be frustrated and I don't have to be bewildered, but I can trust in the promises of God, and he is compassionate and he is merciful and he is caring for me, then all of a sudden it should open my eyes to recognize the needs of the people around me. And if we start sharing that burden with one another, it becomes easier. And you know what the greatest need that people have? It's not food. It's not companionship. It's not even air or clothing or a house. You know what their greatest need is? Jesus. Do you know why their greatest need is Jesus? Because without Jesus, without the forgiveness of the knowledge of Christ, without his sacrifice for their sin, there's death. And it's eternal. And every day we walk outside of our door, we are face to face with the reality of the people that we are surrounded with and their great need. And what he's calling us to do is be compassionate and to show them Jesus. To give them hope. I love the last few verses of the book of Jude. And then I'm done, believe it or not. Wow. The book of Jude. Verse 22. I don't know why. Well, I know why. This reminds me of Thomas. It really does. This reminds me of the Apostle Thomas. Remember Thomas? This last week, we probably could have talked about him. Remember, he's the one that he was hearing all the news about Jesus. He's alive! He's alive! And Thomas is the one who says, you know what? I'm not going to believe. I can't believe that. I won't believe until I'm able to take my hand and stick it in his side. I won't believe that Jesus is alive until I can take my finger and stick it in the nail roots, nail scars in his hand. And guess what? Jesus one day was merciful. He was compassionate. And he appeared to Thomas, and what did he say? He says, come. Place your hand here. Stick your finger in the hole and believe. Remember what he did with Peter? Remember Peter? He actually prayed for Peter before he denied him. And he even told him, he says, Peter, I'm praying for you. I'm praying that after you deny me, that you'll come back. And Jesus came back to Peter. Remember this? And John, he says, do you love me? He asked him three times. He says, do you love me? You see, being compassionate, being merciful, is dealing with people's doubts and meeting them. In the book of Jude, it says, be merciful to those who what? Who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy mixed with fear. You see, the greatest need out there is Jesus. And some of the greatest obstacles that people have in their belief of Christ is their doubt or their fear and their unbelief. And you're never going to argue someone into the compassion of Jesus Christ, but you can continue to show them mercy and continue to meet their needs and continue to listen to them and continue to have a relationship with them no matter what they do to you. You show mercy and compassion and forgiveness as Christ has done exactly for you every single day. And eventually they're going to have to ask, where did you get this? What is the source of this compassion? Ryan, why aren't you worn out, man? Why haven't you given up on me? Because my mercies are what? Are new each day. We're filled with His Spirit and guided by His strength. We can trust Him. The more mercy and compassion that we show, the more we receive. The more we receive, the more we can give. Where's your mercy meter today? Are you feeling a little low? Are you getting a little frustrated? Are you feeling burnout? Remember the saying, it's blessed to give than receive. The more we give, the more we receive. Today, open your eyes. Open your heart. Don't just recognize the needs, but realize that God has placed you in that spot right now to not only see it, but to fill it. Amen? Blessed are those who are merciful, for you will receive mercy. We'll deal with the forgiveness part next week. Let's stand and sing.